There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Are you listening to The Griller, broadcasting live from Barasta into our final hour? Very special guest coming your way in just a few moments' time. But the good news is, for you football fans, the UEFA Nations League games are underway. I'm presuming that you've got to be Slovakian or from the Czech Republic to be interested in this one. But we are 4 minutes into this one. Any goals as yet, Matt?
None yet, Tom. So we'll have to tune in for something a little bit more interesting, hopefully with the Netherlands-Germany game later on today.
We'll have more on that game in just a few moments' time. We've, of course, got Republic of Ireland against Denmark and the big one, Netherlands against Germany at 10:45 this evening. Rugby, second half. CVR, what's the latest?
Yeah, Tom, what I can tell you. 4 minutes played of the second half. It's Bath still leading this encounter, 17 points to 12 against Toulouse.
And as I mentioned a little earlier on today, England took the advantage against Sri Lanka in what is and will be, I'm sure, something of a recurring theme, a rain-affected match in Sri Lanka during October. Owen Morgan, Joe Root, Chris Wokes, all impressed as England won the second one-day international against Sri Lanka in Dambulla. Morgan got 92, Root got 71. They're the only batsmen to pass 30 in England's 278 for 9. Lasith Malinga finishing with figures of 5 for 44. Watching that series with interest and watching the development of world rugby, of cricket around the world at the moment through international series and, of course, franchise tournaments is our next guest. And a man who has dispatched balls to boundaries the world over.
Away, Shah then went into blast mode, launching Rayner over the ropes for 6. It was simply the start of the carnage towards the back end of the innings. And then Shah made room for himself and crashed the young seamer through the covers to the fence. At this stage, Hampshire were nearing 150 with 4 overs to go.
It is an absolute pleasure to welcome to The Grill, welcome to Barasti, and welcome to Dubai, former England, Middlesex, Essex, Kolkata Knight Rider, Delhi Daredevil, a man who played all forms of international cricket in England colours, tests, ODIs and T20s, and also has been very much involved in cricket here as interim head coach for the UAE in past times. It is a pleasure and a welcome to Owe Shah, who joins us live from our broadcast position. Afternoon,
Tom. Thanks for having me.
Not at all, mate. It's great to have you here in Dubai as well. We spoke last time when you were here. You were over as an interim head coach for UAE cricket. UAE cricket has gone on from strength to strength, so obviously you had a massive impact in that one.
I like to think so, yeah. Well, look, I was here nearly probably coming up to 2 years ago on an interim kind of deal with the UAE cricket, coming here for 3 months, trying to see how I can help and see what kind of talent is there to be polished up and see if we could get them ready for a 50 over competition against Hong Kong and Scotland, which was my role. Yeah. And I think coming towards the end of those 3 months, we had that competition, we ended up winning it. So look, I was really happy with that for those 3 months, but then things worked out. I had to go back to England, and things have moved on and had other things going on. So
doors opening left, right and centre as well. It's just interesting because you talk about that experience that you helped put into place as well. It was an experience for you, a coaching experience for you, that I'm sure you something you'd like to do more of in the future. We're going to talk about your future very shortly. But equally, you look at what's happened to UAE cricket since then and just missing out on the Asia Cup by, arguably a couple of bad decisions, a bit of Duckworth-Lewis right at the end there with Hong Kong just getting in at the last minute. They have gone on from strength to strength, as I mentioned there. Did you notice that passion, that ability, that potential for the game during your short time here?
Extremely that, exactly that, the potential and the talent is there. I mean, the guys are very talented. It's just getting their mindset into the professional game, trying to make them think as a professional. They were very much semi-professionals, but now they've got full-time contracts. So they're supposed to be coming in Monday to Friday, training in the morning, and then have lunch, and then have a afternoon hard session in the gym. So that's a life of a professional, and that's something trying to encourage them and to go even beyond those hours. Yeah. And that obviously is going to take time. It's a mindset. But they were very much open to it, and look, they have gone strength to strength. I think in the If you look at it in world cricket, the three teams for me that stand out are Afghanistan, obviously, Ireland, and for me is UAE. I know Scotland have done very well. I know they beat England very recently, and they've, you know, they have beaten UAE, and you have beaten UAE have beaten them. But for me, UAE stand out very much so, and of course not to forget Hong Kong. But you know, UAE have done very well. They've gone strength to strength, and they've retained their one day international status, which is very good, which is very good for the development of UAE cricket. So, you know, hats off to them, and I think they're doing a very good job there at the ICC Academy.
I think it's fair to say that cricket is in a good place at the moment. We're seeing more and more opportunities opening up for young cricketers coming in the game. We're seeing more and more crossover from other sports as well. We're seeing cricket being played in different corners of the globe that we might not have seen 10 years ago. How much of that is down to franchise cricket and the wonderful phrase that is T20 cricket?
Well, yeah, look, I mean you only have to look at Afghanistan, you only have to look at Ireland playing professional test cricket. I mean, test cricket being played in Ireland, and Afghanistan obviously have gone on to play a test match, you know, 10 years ago you wouldn't even have dreamt of that. So look, cricket is progressing, and yes, also there is the 2020 factor, all these leagues coming up all over the world. Currently there's Afghanistan Premier League happening. Currently, I think there's a game tonight. And also the 10-10 league. I mean, who would have thought that 10 years ago there would be a 10-10 league? So there's so much cricket happening. And I think it's really good for the game. I think it's also important, I think, for these franchises to also make sure that the players from the UAEs, the Islands and Afghanistans and all these sort of the lesser nations, as you could call it, in the cricketing world, Hong Kong, they get those players involved just so that those guys can rub shoulders with the likes of Brendan McCullum, the Chris Gayles and players like that. I mean, when you are in the company of those sort of players, the amount of confidence you get, it's just, I think money can't buy that, and that's really important.
And in terms of, you know, you've seen the game develop and change during your hugely successful career, and seen the advent of T20 towards the end of it. You've obviously been involved in the IPL with a couple of franchises over there and seen the development and growth. The fact that it has moved so quickly during your career as well and come to where we are today. Do we need T10? Do we need this 100 ball format that we're talking about at the moment? It seems to be this constant reimagining of what is a game that has been very successful for a number of years.
Yes, it certainly has. My view on that is, look, there's nothing wrong with trying something new. If you go back, I think it's about 15 years ago, 2020 first came in. Yeah. And I got, funny enough, I was doing a talk the other day and somebody asked me this question about exactly that, T10. And my view was 10 years ago, or 15 years ago, 2020 came about. And my view, such as most county cricketers' view, was, what are we doing playing this 2020 stupid game? Right? That is exactly what I thought. 15 years later, it has gone bonkers. I mean, we're talking ridiculous amount of money in IPL and things like that, CPL, APL, you'd say, hey, it's you, any APLs, right? There's nothing wrong with trying a 100-ball competition or a T10 and just see how it develops. If it develops, give it a 4 or 5 year run. If it doesn't develop, that's fair enough. If it develops, you might have unearthed yet another diamond. Might be another competition which you think, oh, wow, what? We might have missed something. So I don't have any problems with trial and error and see how it goes. Give it a 5 year window. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, you've always got the 2020, which we all know works very well worldwide.
My question to you is, we've seen these different formats of cricket at the moment, which is very exciting for the game. But has it come to a point where a player can only specialise in a test match format or only specialise in a T20 format, especially when we see the likes of AB de Villiers, where eventually there's so much cricket that he has to start choosing which format he's going to specialise in and which format he's going to play in? Do you feel that when a player decides, okay, I'm going to become a professional cricketer, he either has to focus, if it be T20, if it be the One Day International, if it be test cricket?
You know, I think what's happened with the 2020 is just prolonged a lot of careers. I think good players, the reason a good player is called a good player is because his ability to adapt. Now, AB de Villiers can adapt to test cricket 2020. He can probably adapt to five over cricket. He's so good. And I think that where you are in your cricketing career, you can adapt to it. And that's exactly what AB de Villiers is doing. Chris Gayle has done that. And the likes of those, Brad Hodge, I mean, it comes to mind, and players like that,
have come along and they've adapted, and the longevity, Sangakkara is another one. I think when the 2020 wasn't around, those guys who were the, you know, the top players, they played their test cricket or whatever form of the game, and then they sort of phased out. 2020 has allowed you to still be involved in a game and still playing. And I think that's probably the one thing that's very different. Now, you also look at other players who might not have the ability to go on and play test cricket. You know, come, say, 24, 25, if they're not playing regular test cricket, they also got to look at themselves and say, you know what, I'm not good enough to play test cricket. Why don't I try my luck at a 2020 and become a 2020 world-renowned player? So it just opens up a lot more opportunities for players. So I don't personally have a problem with that. The only problem I think world cricket might have is when players prioritize, you know, they prioritize 2020 cricket over test cricket. That's where the problem lies, in my view. And I think boards should take a firmer view on that and say, you know what, we need you to play test cricket, or put an age bracket and say, after 30, you can go and play 2020 cricket. Before that, you have to play test cricket or try and play first-class cricket and perform in first-class game to go on and represent your country in test cricket. That's something perhaps you could look at.
Do you believe this is one way for the survival of test cricket? Because nowadays, if we look at all audiences from around the world, everybody's looking for something quick. They want to be in within 2 hours and be out. Do you believe there's still a place for test cricket in the world of cricket or in the greater spectrum of things?
I do. I mean, you only have to look at the series in England just now against India. England played India. I mean, we had a phenomenal test series. The whole country was talking about the test series. We were talking about Jimmy Anderson against Virat Kohli. And the competition, I tell you, was amazing. It was ridiculous. So that's what was so amazing about test cricket. You know, people say test cricket might be dying. I don't think it's dying. It's very much alive, especially in the likes of England or Australia, South Africa. Perhaps in the Asian countries, you don't get the amount of perhaps corporate people watching. So there is such a big push for shorter form of the game. I think that's just how things are, and you know, people do want a quick fix nowadays, and that's the age we're living in. I don't think you can control that. What you can do is keep pushing the test cricket up front, which you know, England, Australia and South Africa are doing a very good job of. I'm not saying India not, or you know, Sri Lanka, they're not doing it. It's just they don't get the big crowds like England and say Australia do, an Ashes test match. I mean, come on. I mean, that's a rammed, packed house every time. Australia, South Africa, that's rammed every time. So, you know, there is plenty of people wanting to watch test cricket. It's just we've got to get a bigger push going, perhaps, against the subcontinent countries.
Let me ask you, so how different is it? We were talking earlier about England football team having to play behind closed doors yesterday. So used to playing in front of 80,000 people and now playing in front of no fans. How do you think that affects the players playing in front of smaller crowds when they can have the opportunity to go to those bigger tournaments and play live in front of those bigger audiences?
Yeah, look, I must admit, it's a huge temptation to have that, you know, the big packed houses of 20,000 people watching you, and the music and the fans and the kids are going crazy for those 3 hours. Look, it is short and sharp. It is tempting, but like I mentioned earlier, when perhaps, you know, the cricket boards could look at things like that, where if somebody is definitely not going to play test cricket, right, they could look, speak to that individual and say, look, if you want to pursue a career in shorter form of cricket, then please do so. But the guys who are good enough to play test cricket, they should really, really put an effort and emphasis on them playing first class cricket and push for that test cricket. Because they will play against some countries where, okay, not many people are going to come and watch, but they will also play against countries when there will be a packed house. You know, you play a Lord's Test match in England, you always get a packed house. Yeah. And there's no another experience that money can't buy that. Playing a Lord's Test match is something very special to every single cricketer all over the world, not just an English player. I know I'm biased and I'm English and I'm saying that. Let me tell you, every single cricketer wants to walk out through that long room onto the hallowed turf and walk out there wearing their shirt for their country.
Indeed, and that's something you did on numerous occasions, test matches, ODIs, T20s, but also as a county player as well, Middlesex and Essex. I've always wanted to ask this one about that. You know, if a player moves from Manchester United to Man City, there's always going to be a bit of chat as well. Is it the same from Middlesex to Essex or not?
Nah, I think maybe Middlesex to Surrey that might have been. Middlesex to Essex, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I think maybe Essex and Kent, that's the rivalry there. No, look, I had a wonderful time at Middlesex and I love my time. And unfortunately, that came to an end when I was 31. My time finished there and I had a wonderful opportunity to have 3 wonderful years at Essex. I loved every minute of it, made a lot of friends. And at that time, my career was shaping up that I started playing a lot of 2020 cricket all over the world. So I was actually wasn't playing that much county cricket. I was actually only spending my time from sort of July, August, September in England. The rest of the time, I was literally playing Big Bash in Australia, in South Africa, followed that by the IPL, and then come to England midsummer, played the 2020 and the last 3 months of county cricket. So I wasn't really at Essex at the full season as I was perhaps at the the start and the middle part of my career at Middlesex. So it was just an opportunity that came along and I took it with both hands. I loved every minute of it. And I'm very much a Middlesex and an Essex player and an Hampshire player.
Take me back if you can to 2009, because we talked there about the advent of T20 cricket in the last 15 years or so. You get the call, the text message, the shout out from Kolkata Knight Riders. IPL still sort of finding its feet to a certain degree, still a bit of an unknown as well. How much of an eye opener was that first couple of seasons for you at KKR?
Yeah, that was ridiculous. It was, that's the only word I can describe it. I mean, I remember coming to KKR. So what happened was I was actually picked up by Delhi the year before.
That's right, yeah.
On a 2-year contract. I was part of a team where the openers were Tilakaratne Dilshan, AB de Villiers. I mean, we had 9 international players, 4 Indian. Five Indian, 4 overseas. I mean, I wasn't even getting looking. I was running drinks out. And it was a wonderful experience. And I sort of thought about it. And I spoke to the Delhi people and said, look, I'm not getting in that team. Why don't you put me in the transfer window? See if somebody picks me up. I might go to another team and get an opportunity because I really want to be playing. Calcutta came in. They picked me. They said, okay, Chris Gayle's not around for the first 5 games. You're in. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. So I turned up to Calcutta and, I mean, 60,000 people at this ground. And, I mean, the drive from the hotel to the ground was ridiculous. I mean, it was police escorts and all this sort of stuff. And then when you get in the ground, you had police sort of making like a guard of honor kind of thing where you had to walk through. Otherwise, the people were just, you know, trying to get a photo or selfie or whatever. So anyway, we walked through that into the dressing room and then you open the doors from the dressing room to the ground. Oh my God. It's probably the loudest stadium I've ever played cricket in. It was ridiculous. It was deafening, mate. If I was talking to you next, if I was sitting next to you and we had to have a chat, I would have to shout the conversation.
Really?
It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun. We had Sourav Ganguly was captain.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of fun. We met the famous Shahrukh Khan, who's an actor and owner of the team. And yeah, we had a wonderful time at Calcutta. And we won some games, we lost some, and we had a mixed season. But look, we had a wonderful time. It was a wonderful experience.
Ace, it's great to have you here in the UAE. You're no stranger to this part of the world, but does beg the question, what are you up to at the moment? I mean, did you still pull the boots on at all or not? Is that well done?
No, I only put the shorts on when I go and do yoga, I think, at the moment. That's all I do. I've discovered yoga, actually. That's something I'm doing. Actually, I recommend a young lady, Joanna, Basto.com, if anybody's interested in the yoga. But yeah, I'm doing a bit of yoga. I'm doing a lot of fitness. But no, not putting the boots on. I'm actually helping a friend out, Chirag Suri, who plays for UAE.
Sure, sure.
He's got a front foot sports academy at Repton School, so
yeah.
I sort of go and guest coach there.
Nice.
As such, but my main thing, what I'm doing here is I've done some motivational speaking back home in England, in the corporate world. So again, trying to there's a big corporate market here, I guess, and just trying to do that motivational stuff here. And in the meantime, also some coaching along the way. There's plenty of cricket coming up, isn't there? I mean, there's T10, there's T20, there's this league, there's that league.
Pakistan Super League, the Afghan Super League,
so
T20X, the T10 tournament as well.
There you go.
No shortage of it around, that's for sure.
So if anyone's listening out there, I'm looking for a gig in the coaching world.
And is that something that you would like to go? Is that an avenue that you'd like to explore more of, given the experience you've had to date?
Yeah, would love to. Look, I've had I had a brief stint with the UAE team, yeah. So I know all the cricketers in UAE who represent UAE and on the fringes. I've played all over the world in the 2020 format, so love to be able to pass my experience on to the up-and-coming cricketers of the world. If there's if an opportunity came along, I would love to do that, or even in the media. You know, I mean, I've done plenty of commentary back home in England for Sky Sports, and also for the Irish sports, because they're playing a lot of cricket. So I've covered a lot of one day internationals with them against New Zealand, Bangladesh, and places like that. So, yeah, look, I'm looking for opportunities, see what's out there.
Lovely. I love that approach to it as well. I've got to get your thoughts on England in Sri Lanka as well, because got a victory today. Duckworth Lewis, I think, was the busiest of the players out there on the pitch today. They've set a market. I mean, one thing that sort of surprised me about this tour is its timing. I know that the schedules are very, very tight with so much cricket around the world, but it is monsoon season over in Sri Lanka. And I suppose, is that something you've just got to get used to? Because the conditions over there can be very, very stifling, can't they?
Yes, they can. To be honest, look, it seems a little bit bizarre that they've chosen a one-day tour, or any cricket tour, to be honest, when the monsoon season's around. But such is the international calendar. I mean, there's so much cricket. I guess it's a chance worth taking for Sri Lanka to get, you know, to host England. As they say, rain is the winner, and it has been for the one day international today. But hey, England came on the right on the right side. So unfortunate for the Sri Lankan fans out there. But as an Englishman, I'm very happy that we're leading the series, and hopefully we can go on and win the series. I mean, England's white ball cricket has gone strength to strength.
Extraordinary, isn't it? Yeah.
I mean, we're looking very strong. I think the World Cup is around the corner. I think in the next 6, 7, 8 months, whenever it is. And in our backyard, I like to think we will make that final. I'm pretty confident of that. Obviously, you've got your Pakistans, your India, who are going to be playing a lot of one-day cricket leading up to it. And obviously, you can never rule out the Aussies as well. I think England have got a very strong chance of going on to win that that trophy, which we haven't done yet. In the short form.
I was listening to former teammates of yours, Jimmy Anderson, talking about conditions and preparing for those conditions for the test series this is down in Sri Lanka. And he says that this year was going to be different because they haven't got Alistair Cook with them. Because apparently Alistair, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong on this one, just doesn't sweat or something like that. So he was the go-to man to try the ball.
What a freak. I mean, if you see me training, there'll be a pool of water around me. And the guy never sweat, and I'm like, I had to work twice as hard. It was a nightmare.
It's true though that he just wasn't a sweater.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously he sweats, but he doesn't sweat. You could do a level 13 or a 14 on a bleep test, and he will not be. You know, his shirt will be a little bit wet, not like the most normal people like us. We'll be drenched and we'll be dying on the floor, gasping for air and asking for some water. And he'd be like, yeah, that was all right. And a little bit out of breath. And you just think, you make me sick, mate.
Obviously, you got that great farewell, deserved farewell at the end of the season last year. It was sort of a dream test match at the end, 100 for him. And then Jimmy picking up that final wicket of the series as well. Can you sort of sum up, a man that you played national colours with, at a county level as well, with the impact that Alistair Cook has had on English cricket during his career?
Well, look, he's been very much the rock at the top of the order. Yeah. I know it's a bit cliche to say he's been the rock, but he literally has been the rock. His record speaks for itself, with the most amount of test runs in an English shirt. Possibly not very pretty on the eye, but look, very effective. Yeah. He knew his game, which is, I think, very important at the top level. And GZ churned some runs out. he had that wonderful Ashes series in England. In Australia. He's a class act, a very good player, and very, very nice guy off the field. I don't think many people got a bad word to say about him. And hopefully he goes on. And I'd like to see him involved in English cricket. Hopefully, I think he's got a good head on his shoulders, and hopefully he can. I don't know whether it's coaching or whether it's sort of down the Strauss route of. Being in the ECB offices or something, I don't know, but I'd like to think he'll be involved, and hopefully he can pass on his knowledge and his experience to the up and coming of the future, Alistair Cook.
We've got to get him off the farm first, though, haven't we? You know, spending so much time on the farm at the moment. He's making the most of it. As is usually the case, you know, I do a few text messages around, see if we can get a bad word or a couple of bit of rumours to come out from former teammates and former players of Away Shark. I haven't got a single one, so another nice man of international cricket here. I haven't got a single text message that's come in, so all I've been sent is sheer praise from others, and I think that's been backed up by our conversation here. It's great to know you're here in the UAE, and for those that are listening at the moment, if you'd like Oasis to come down and meet your team, meet your company, get involved, get in touch as well. I mean, what's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
Social media. I mean, I'm on Twitter. I'm very much active on Twitter. So, yeah, just follow me on Twitter give me a shout or even come through you guys, I guess.
Exactly, yeah.
You've got my details. No worries. No problem at all.
I'd love to put you in touch with, as you said, the corporate world here, but you're looking at other opportunities and just taking advantage of this time of year here in the UAE. I don't think we're going to have as much rain here as they are over in Sri Lanka over the next few weeks.
It doesn't rain here at all, does it? I mean, every day is that thing just comes up and shines straight through the window, and you can feel the heat. It's 38 degrees yet again. So yeah, it's pretty nice. I'm not complaining. It's freezing back home.
Isn't it just? Yeah. Listen, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Thanks so much indeed for taking time out of your weekend to come down here and talk more. All the best with the yoga. All right?
Yeah.
Stick with the yoga.
Yeah, will do. Thanks, mate.
All the best with everything else that's going on in your world, and we'll definitely get in touch with you, get you back on the show very, very soon. But for now, Oasis, thanks so much indeed for everything.
No worries. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. Thank you, Dubai Eye.
We will take a short break when we come back. We'll put around the grounds with all the latest scores. Champions Cup underway. We've got UEFA Nations League underway. That and more next.
This is The Grill. Tweet the team at Dubai Eye Sport.
Big thanks to the Ace Man, Ace Shah, for joining us live here on The Grill. If you didn't get the full interview, you can, of course, get it on the podcast after the show. But good news to hear that the former England, Middlesex, Essex, Delhi Daredevil, Kolkata Knight Rider is here in the UAE, will be for the forthcoming months. If he's not doing his daily yoga session down here, then, of course, he is keeping you entertained on the corporate side of things, amongst others. And if there are any franchises listening in and they want a former international to help out with the coaching side of things, he's your man, as he was saying there. So good to have him on board. Let's take a little tour around the grounds, if we can. Let's find out what's happening in the rugby. We've ignored that for the last half hour. About 10 minutes left, is that right?
Yeah, Tom, about 10 minutes left in a very close fought contest between Bath and Toulouse. Toulouse has just taken the lead. They lead that encounter 22 points to 20 with 10 minutes to play at the recreation ground. A lot to do for the home team.
See if there's been any goals in the UEFA Nations Cup.
I come with bad news, I'm afraid, with only two shots on target and zero goals after 34 minutes. The most interesting thing about this game so far is that Martin Skrtel, formerly of the Liverpool Parish, has won his 100th cap for Slovakia.
Look at that. It is the it's the league that's just not catching fire at the moment, isn't it? A lot of underpar games. Anyway, one piece of good news for England cricket fans is that England beat Sri Lanka in a rain-affected ODI. They lead that series now. As we were just talking there about the forthcoming series here in the region, I was trying to do a list whilst we were talking to Oasis there, and you know, we've got Pakistan against Australia on at the moment.
Happening at the moment at Sports City. Yeah.
New Zealand are coming to town, so they're also going to be playing a series against Pakistan between now and the end of the year. You have got the England Lions, so the England B team, if you like, the academy side there, basing themselves out of Dubai Games in Abu Dhabi for the four-day game and a series, ODI series and T20 series as well, whilst England are over in Sri Lanka. Lest we forget the T20X, the Afghan Super League, the Pakistan Super League and the T10. So there's a bit of cricket coming up.
Absolutely, Tom, and I think, you know, it does help that Pakistan has based themselves here. This is their home ground, and they've been doing very, very well against Australia, of course, that first test match drawn. So, yeah, if you're a cricket fan, a fantastic couple of months awaiting you.
What about this T10 thing, though? What do we make of it? Listening into what Ace had to say there, Matt, I mean, is it this constant need for rejuvenation, for a new look?
Yeah, and I think it really cheapens the efforts they've put into the likes of T20, and just by diluting even further the chance at growing better interest in the Test match series, yeah. Of course, because, and he touched on it there, it's really only England, South Africa and Australia where you can expect a 5-test series to sell out every single game. And I've bought my tickets for the Ashes next year already. I'll be flying back to the UK. But beyond that, it's just there's such a paucity of interest in watching it live. I'm not suggesting there's fewer eyeballs on the television screen of Test matches, but just getting people through the door. And I think when you create yet another discipline for eyes to be diverted towards that's quicker, that's easier, it's almost like your social media version of cricket, isn't it? Quick, disposable. And I think that's a shame. I think they'd be better served to, and how they do it, I don't know. I'm certainly not the man to do it, but create something that drives people through the door of the Test matches, whether that's entertainment on the side or whether there's it's almost like a shot clock or an overclock or something that just quickens that process up a little bit more. They'd be much better served trying to bed those in than creating something else.
T10 is coming to town. Owen Morgan is currently in action with the white ball game over in Sri Lanka. Will be one of the marquee players at the forthcoming T10. He's been defending the concept.
I think it's so interesting because, again, the warm-up game we played against a guy who bowled right-arm off-spin, yeah. And then Joel Root got on strike and then he bowled left-arm off-spin and he bowled it really well. And we talked about it a few years ago. If a guy's bowling left-arm off-spin, you have the ability to bat left-handed. If there's a guy bowling, right-arm off-spin, have the ability to bat right-handed. I think it is. I played with David Warner at Hyderabad for a couple of seasons of the IPL, and in the nets he would practice batting right-handed, and he'd hit it well and he'd play well. So I think that could potentially be the next thing. I think, like you mentioned, with the formats getting shorter and shorter, I think we tap into, I suppose, a different audience once we get down to 10 overs, 100 ball, T20. Once that starts to gather momentum, particularly at home, I think we gather, you know, a new audience of people that have never watched cricket before who might be interested in it. I think the T10 in particular offers a different aspect of the game. The game only lasts 90 minutes. Mm. All the games are played on the same ground. You've three games a day. Mm-hmm. So you might turn up and watch three or four world-class players playing in three different teams. And the price of the ticket is still the same. Mm-hmm. So your value for money is brilliant. Also, I think you can have a tournament in the space of about 10 or 12 days, which makes it very applicable to the Olympics. Whereas, you know, an Olympic sport needs to be done and dusted within a month. You can't necessarily do a T20 tournament with, say, 10 nations or 12 nations within that period. I think T10 is the format.
So you'd like to see T10 potentially in the Olympics. The other thing is, T10, shorter game, quicker, faster, but then you play three games in a day and it makes it quite a long day. It sort of goes against the grain of actually cutting it down further to make it quicker.
It does, but as a team, you would play one game a day, so you'd have one set of, you know, supporters. Yeah. The rest of it would be people turning up to watch a game, similar to rugby sevens.
Yeah.
Tours around the world, not necessarily attracts rugby fans. It's there for a good time. It gives enough exposure to completely different nations around the world to grow the game.
Cricket to the Olympics, fellas?
Well, I'd have to say, it was a pretty compelling argument that he put across there. I mean, golf made it last time out, so there's no reason why it shouldn't be. I feel pretty well educated and a little bit more rounded on my on my feeling now after that one. Very easily swayed, it seems.
So there was Owen Morgan giving his thoughts on T10, of which he will be a part here in the UAE. Let's hear now, though, from another man who didn't play T10, but has been very much part of English cricket, both as a player, a former captain of the Test team, and more recently as a revered writer and broadcaster on the game. Mike Atherton. Now, Atherton was asked this week about Owen Morgan. Given the strength of the one-day side at the moment, there are a few suggestions that we could get to a position where Owen Morgan might have to drop himself from the side in order to have their strongest batting lineup. He's hit back against his critics today by scoring more runs. But interesting little argument, this one. Let's get the latest from Mike Atherton.
Owen Morgan, do you really think if push came to shove, he would leave himself out of the World Cup team?
Well, he's a young man, as we saw from decisions he's made in the past when he didn't go to Bangladesh, for example. He's not somebody who will be swayed by what other people think. He will do what he thinks is right. I think it is a hypothetical. I mean, I think barring 16 noughts in a row, Owen Morgan is going to lead England into that first World Cup game. But I think what he's just saying is nobody's irreplaceable. We've got a fantastic squad here. I can see great depth in our squad when somebody like Alex Hales can't get in. And given how he has played in an England shirt, he's just putting himself on guard that he needs to perform as well. There was a time, if you go way back, 5, 6, 7 years, when Owen Morgan was a kind of outlier for England in one-day cricket. He had all the tricks. He had the tricks that nobody else had in terms of the reverse sweep and the scoop. I feel that everybody else has kind of caught up and some have overtaken Owen Morgan, which is not to say that he doesn't deserve his place in the side. Of course he does. And he's been a massive part of what England have done since the 2015 World Cup. But he's just saying to himself there and letting everybody else know, yep, I need to keep performing too. Nobody's irreplaceable in this side.
It's quite hard to predict his form, though, isn't it? Because he has extended periods of sort of no scores and then suddenly jumps out of the bunker and he scores a brilliant 100. So how do you kind of judge where he is with his batting?
I mean, the fortunate thing about this batting lineup, as they bat so deep, that if someone does struggle for any sort of period of time, that you can kind of weather that storm.
And if you're winning.
Yeah.
You know, it helps if you're winning 70% of your games, different if you're losing.
Absolutely. And the fact that he's such a pivotal member of this side, you know, he really does spread the message. I think he really does lead the side from above. So I think it's not just about his weight or runs, it's his leadership.
Why is he such a good leader?
I mean, I've not played with Owen, but in that team, in this, when you're playing international cricket, so a lot of it is the environment and the pressure that is created maybe outside of your internal bubble. But then obviously there's a lot of pressure that you put on yourself as a player. You want to perform, you want to perform well. But I think he probably is able to help get that away off people. And I think his brand of cricket shows that as well. I think the way that he's so positive, he's proactive. You know, sometimes you see it's almost his first or second ball of an innings, he'll dance down the pitch. They could be three down for not many, and he'll dance down the pitch and take it over mid off a seamer. So I think he's a wonderful example for this team.
I think his calmness is important. One day cricket is very, very frenetic now, especially T20 cricket to a lesser extent, 50 over cricket. You watch him towards the end of a game when the pressure's really on a captain and you've got to think instinctively and quickly, you're under time pressure as well. He's very, very calm, and I think that calmness transmits to the other players. He's tactically pretty adept. He's played all around the world, played lots of franchise cricket, whether it's IPL, Big Bash, whatever, and kind of knows modern one-day cricket. So was pretty aware when he was given that hospital pass just before the World Cup of 2015. I know that didn't go well, that tournament, but I think he was pretty aware of how he needed to take the side on from that point. Obviously, he's batting, he's part of the team, and he's perfectly capable of playing match-win innings as well. So you've got the whole package there. And I think he's his own man. That decision to go to Bangladesh, which I didn't agree with, is interesting that Alex Hales is just going to go to the Bangladesh Premier League. I didn't agree with that decision, but despite the kind of torrent of criticism that came, he said, no, that's how I see it, and I'm going to make my decision. And it takes a certain strength of character, strength of mind to make a decision like that. And I think he's got a pretty strong character.
This is The Grill. Get involved with the show. Text 4001 or message us for free on the Dubai Eye Messenger app.
Extraordinary scenes in the Champions Cup. It's Bath against Toulouse. There's still about 1.5 minutes of regular time on this game. A game that should be done and dusted for Bath, but it's anything but.
Tom, Todd Blackadder must be absolutely furious. And yes, as you just said that, Freddie Burns first has got the opportunity to put Bath 23-22 ahead. He hits the upright with his penalty kick. Then Bath get an attacking scrum. They attack to the blind side. Burns breaks a fantastic tackle, goes through. He's got an open trial, and all he has to do is put the ball down to win it for Bath. And what happens? He celebrates too early. Maxime Medrand knocks the ball out of his hand. Disallowed try to Bath with just 2 minutes left to play now. Or should I say 1:10 to lose 22, Bath 20, when they should have won this game 5 minutes ago.
Bath with the feed, so we'll keep an eye on that one for you. We've been talking cricket here in this final hour of the show. We've had plenty of feedback. Thanks so much indeed to all of you who have been sending in your text messages about Oweh Shah, the former Middlesex, Essex and England man who's here, was live with us, still down here at Barasti, in fact, enjoying the sport as well. He's here in the UAE now looking for opportunities. And opportunities for you to text to thank him for being here, and also to ask him if you can have if somebody's just texted in asking if they can have his bat. I'm not sure how many he's brought with him for this particular journey, but thank you all the same. Right, we are also in this. I don't know if you've Matt, have you had an opportunity to get any of these reviews on Shane Warne's new autobiography? I love the fact that Shane Warne's now onto his third autobiography. He's obviously couldn't cram it into the first couple of editions.
I've not seen any of them,
so
but
brilliant.
I always enjoy that. It's my story, and now it's my story 2 years later.
Were some of the revelations, were they just too outrageous
exactly,
to get into the first couple? So let's save it for a few of the later editions.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Some interesting quotes that I saw. As I said, I haven't read many of the reviews of the books, but lots of stuff about his personal life, that kind of the post-cricket personal life that maybe didn't filter out in the first book. He's been very outspoken about the Australian cricket team, as he would do. Unfortunately for him, he timed an attack on their worst ever batting lineup on a day that they then batted for the longest they've ever done in a fourth innings, which wasn't well timed from his side. But no, it's one of those. I do like an autobiography, but like you say, I do find it tiresome to just reread the same side of it. You know,
he's obviously enjoying the limelight again. We know the fact that Shane loves the limelight. He has been on just about every single sofa talking about. This one. Here he is explaining yet another of the chapters.
I don't think Test cricket is dying. I think there's a lot more interest on the TV side of things than attending the ground. I don't think there's a lot of people. I think in England and Australia it's still very, very strong with people attending the venue of where the Test matches are. But I think around the world there's more eyeballs watching on the TV. I think as long as the superstar players like the Virat Kohli say that Test cricket is the pinnacle and he wants to achieve things in the Test match arena, and he's leading the way in that, then I think it'll always stand there. And we have to trust the players that they want to play Test cricket. It's very easy to take the money and do the 2020 side of things, and I don't begrudge any player doing that. But I hope that when we look back in 10, 15 years' time, we look into the future and we say, wasn't it great that all these players still love Test cricket? Because it is the hardest form. You play for 5 days, the best team will always win.
What state are Australia in at the moment? They're struggling against Pakistan in Dubai in the first test, and obviously we had the ball tampering issue a couple of months ago. That's clearly damaged the Australian team and damaged Test cricket as a brand as well. Do you think it's knocked it in that way?
I was embarrassed. I'm not sure how it gets to the stage in a Test match where you say we're going to take sandpaper out into the middle and put it on the ball. I mean, that was terrible, and it was very embarrassing and disappointing. So the Australian cricket team need to gain the respect back of the cricket community. They need to gain the respect back of the Australian public, especially. And the only way they can do that is the way they conduct themselves. And I hope they don't lose the Australian DNA, which is hard, tough, but fair. And they are struggling at the moment. I think the batting side of things at the moment is probably the weakest we've had in a long, long time, if not ever. Our bowling's still very good. We've got some good all-rounders, we've got some good bowling, but our batting's weak.
Right, final few moments of the show. CVR, full-time whistle is gone.
Yeah, Tom, what I can tell you is Bath must be kicking themselves. And I tell you what, a lot of unhappy fans with Freddie Burns this evening down in Bath. As I said, ran over the try line for the winning try. All he had to do was put the ball down. Got knocked out of his hands by left-winger Maxi Midrod. A terrible, terrible, terrible mistake by Freddie Burns, which has cost him 5 points on the log. What I can tell you is to lose a beaten Bath at Bath, 22 points to 20.
Half time, no goals in the only game that's got underway in the UAE Nations Cup.
Nope, absolutely nothing, unfortunately.
The big guns are over in Shanghai. Messrs. Djokovic, Federer, they're sort of progress is continuing, is that right?
Unfortunately not, Tom. Some more bad news for especially myself. If you're a Roger Federer fan out there, please switch off your radio. He has lost to Bernard Coric in two sets. Coric beat him 6-4, 6-4. Which means he will now meet Novak Djokovic in the final. Unfortunately, Federer losing in the semi-final quite convincingly against Bernard Coric, 6-4, 6-4.
So another door opens for that man Novak Djokovic, eh?
Well, he's been in sublime form at the moment. You know, he had that elbow injury, had a few off-court troubles, should we rather say, but he's come back in fine form, winning Wimbledon, winning the US Open, winning the Cincinnati Masters, and I think the Shanghai Open will be another conclusion for the man. He's aiming to be world number one before the end of the year, and he's well on his way.
That's about it from us down here at the Grill HQ. Hope you've enjoyed the show. We'll be back next week between the hours of 3 and 6. What are you two fellas doing sports-wise for the remainder of this Saturday and, of course, a Sunday of sport tomorrow? For you, CBR?
Tom, it's very simple. I'm going home now. I'm making myself a sandwich. I'm plonking myself on the couch, and I'll be watching Montpellier against Edinburgh. And then I'll be switching over to Exeter Chiefs and Munster just to get the scores. And then tomorrow I'll be watching my beloved Saracens.
Look at that, eh? Got Easy. It all sorted out, haven't you? CBR, bless you. Thanks for your hard yards over the last couple of hours. And thanks also to Matt as well. Matt, for being alongside us. What about you? What are you watching tonight?
The new Lady Gaga film, A Star Is Born. I ticked my sport list this morning. And so I'm taking the wife to the cinema for the 7 o'clock showing, so I'm back in time for Netherlands Germany.
Enjoy that one. Thanks very much indeed for all your hard yards today.
Thanks for having me.
Really appreciate that one. Stay in touch with the team on social media. How can people get in touch?
I'm just Matthew in Dubai.
Matthew in Dubai, and you are?
At Auctions Carl.
There they are. I'm at Tom Erker, or of course you could do at Dubai iSport. I, for one, will be heading home, and at 9 o'clock I will put myself in front of the grand final. Yeah, I know I've got nothing to do with rugby league, but I do love a grand final. Enjoy it. And he gets a short ball away. Hanson then to Goulding. Goulding slides to kick down the line for Charlie. Gets the ball to the left-hand side. This is Declan Pander! And Declan Pander gets the first try. Sargentson to the corner for Charlie. Terrell Banks! Who gets it down? This is Tompkins! Sam Tompkins gets the try. 14-0. Well, that's it. Wigan are off to Old Trafford. Lyman through one, Lyman through two, Lyman gets the try! And Warrington are there. Warrington are through to the grand final 2018.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.